The following was recorded live from the Sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an on-time message from the Word of God.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. It's so nice to soak in the Lord's presence, to just kind of sit there and not listen or hear anybody else's stuff. You're so focused in on Holy Spirit where you're only hearing Him talk to you and feeling Him minister to you. It's really a good opportunity. Don't be embarrassed by that. Sometimes we can get a little uncomfortable with quiet. But there's an old hymn we used to sing when I was growing up called Blessed Quietness, Holy Quietness, What Assurance in My Soul on the Stormy Sea. Jesus speaks to me and the billows cease to roll. So we need those quiet moments. We need those quiet times to just drown out everybody else and just hear Holy Spirit and feel Holy Spirit and just enjoy what He does in that moment. And that's what we just experienced today. And I have to say, that was super fun.
Amen.
Super fun.
You guys agree? Are you having a good time? His presence is so sweet.
Yeah.
It is so good to see you all here today. So, yeah, we're gonna start out with prayer. Pastor is out of town, and he and his family out of town, and asked that I would bring the message today. And I always enjoy having Ivy and I do it together because we work off of each other, and we work so well together in the name of Jesus.
I really do
mean that, but I'm also saying that to the devil because he tries to get in the middle of it because we see things a little differently sometimes. But that's okay. We work things out and we gel together and we do what God has for us to do. But I say that kind of like the thumb, put my thumb up to the enemy and let him know we continue to be victorious in God because we make a choice to. Amen. So we're going to open up with prayer and let God have His way. Father God, we just thank You so much for today. We thank You for an opportunity to share Your word, and we just pray that Your people will hear what You want them to hear, Father God, and that the words that they will hear will be something they will be able to live off of, Father God, and even spring forward from, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We thank You that it will help propel people further into their victory in You. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, thank You, Lord, thank You, Lord. So today, we're just gonna talk about, because, this is a bit of an auspicious occasion. It is the last Sunday of 2020, and I don't know about y'all, but I'm ready for 2020 to wind it up.
Yes, Lord.
You know, I'm about done. So this is our last Sunday of 2020. Thank You, Jesus. And I believe that Holy Spirit just desires to speak to us about our new, He wants us to have a new way of thinking, a different way of thinking, a fresher way of thinking, an update on the spiritual gifts. And so we just want to talk a bit today, just a short time, about Christ's commands concerning spiritual gifts. So our purpose today is to make you aware of the biblical authority and admonitions concerning the gifts of the Spirit, to convince you that it is the Lord's will for you to manifest your spiritual giftings, and to exhort you to have a proper attitude toward the gifts. Okay, so he wants to convince us this morning that, yes, He has gifts. He left these gifts. He brought these gifts to us through Holy Spirit. And He wants us to understand that He wants us to manifest these gifts. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's take a look at, actually, I'm going to start at verse 4, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to start at verse 4. there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. That's so good. I'm going to say it again. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So this is not the, I don't know if you guys remember, there was a comedic skit on Saturday Night Live, and the character's name was Stuart Smalley, and he would stand in the mirror and he'd say, I'm good enough, I'm handsome enough, and by God, people love me. And he would say that to himself. But you know, that is a scriptural principle. This is not about, his gifts are not about whether we think we are good enough. His gifts are not about whether or not we think we're pretty enough or handsome enough or well-spoken enough. That's not what any of this is about. His gifts are for all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So he wants you to use your gifts to profit, to benefit everybody. Yes, the gift is for us. Yes, he deems us worthy. But I think what we really have to understand for the coming year, for 2020, is that these gifts are not only about us. They're also about other people. So we need to take a moment and think, what are we not giving people when we don't use our gifts? What's not happening in our world because we are not using our gifts? What's not happening in our community because we are not using our gifts? Yes, he deems us worthy. He calls us a friend, and he left these wonderful gifts for us to use and to be joyful about. But he did that to benefit everyone. So when you don't use the word of knowledge, somebody is lacking. Mm-hmm. When you're not using or walking the gift of faith, somebody is lacking. It's not just about us. It's about everyone and how we affect our community and how we affect our world. You don't like the way things are going in the world right now? Use your gift and change it. Amen? We cannot be idle. We cannot sit still. We must use the gifts that Holy Spirit has given us for the profit of all.
Amen. That's good work. Now, you know, Ivy and I, we worked together and we put this together. So I see we're at a spot right now in the message where it's highlighted yellow. Just for you. And yellow tells me, right, it's not highlighted for you guys. But for me, when I see yellow, that means, Otis, this is your section. Okay? Now, I'm going to mess up a little bit because I still got something to say on your section, babe. So.
And you know what? And this is what I said. No. So for real. Because I said to him, I was like, you know, this could get too long because of all of your asides that you take. And he's like, no, you take asides too. No, I don't. He do. Watch it happen. You're going to watch it. You're about to watch a prophetic act. Go ahead.
It's all good. It's going to be quick, though. But something I do want to point out here is in that 1 Corinthians 12:7, you notice where it says, for the profit of all. And as I was reading this the other day and just thinking about it, God, you know, forgive my mindset. I do a lot in business. And so we would always do these cost analysis and understand a profit is not the same as break even.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be break even. It shouldn't be a net zero. Okay? He wants the giftings to be utilized so that it is a benefit, it is a profit, which is above what you've put in. Okay? So that's something to point out. And when she says, what is missing when we don't use our giftings? We don't advance to the level that God wants us to advance. He's not interested in us just breaking even. God's never been about us just surviving. And when you look in Psalms 100, and I think, you know, maybe the third, there's three verses there, you know, it talks about not seated, being seated in the council of the ungodly, speak all that piece there. But right after that, it says that those who love the Lord will meditate on his word day and night, and they will be like a tree planted by the river's edge. A tree does not need to be planted by the river's edge in order to grow, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to illustrate something here. You could have a tree grow and it could be further inland. But God's never been about just the bare minimum. He's always been about an abundance. Okay? So it's important that we understand he wants us to have a profit. He wants us to turn out more than what we've put in. That's how he is. So he puts a tree by the river's edge where there's plenty of water. And it says, it talks about its leaf will prosper and it will not wither.
So amen. Can I read that? That's Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7.
That's not the one I was looking for.
That's not, well, but this one's good too.
Okay, good.
So blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. I thought that was good too.
That's a good one. Yeah,
that's a good
one. Go to Psalms 100. We're just going to, we'll highlight this here just to really drive home the piece of God's never been about us just getting by. He wants us to occupy until he comes. He wants us to advance. It's good. Everlasting. Yep. Oh, that's funny, isn't it? No, it's actually Psalms there. I'll find it here in a minute. I said Psalms 100, but it's really, I'll track it down here. Because it's a great, that's weird. I quote that scripture over and over, and for some reason I have missed it. But anyway, look, took my little rabbit trail, and now I've got to go in. So
now again, he's actually doing his own part.
Now I'm going back to the highlighted part. She's going to find that scripture I was just telling you about in Psalms. It's one I quoted over and over. It might even be number one.
Oh, Psalm 1, yeah.
It is one. Jeez.
You said one, but
I'm
then
multiplying.
You put the 100 after. Yeah. So it's three. Psalm 1, verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, babe. See, I was trying to multiply stuff. That was verse 1.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, I want to look in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to look at 6 and 7. And I'm pausing. I'm going slow here because we used to do it in the day. You wait, everybody, when you're there, just say amen. You know, you would wait for people to get their word out and get to that spot.
And you could hear the pages turn, but a lot of people are using their devices, so we can't hear the pages no more.
Yeah. So I'm trying to give you time to get there. But so in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 6 and 7 says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gifts of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. You know, it's funny. A lot of times we quote that, the last part of that. But we forget the piece before where it talks about the fact that he has to remind you to stir up something is funny all by itself. It's something you can preach on. But he has to remind them to stir up the gifts of God, which are in you through the laying on of hands. And then it follows up, but for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of sound mind. It's kind of funny that they would put that right after that. Because, one, gifts, I don't know if you remember, we used to make this Nestle Quick chocolate milk. I used to love it. I would put that powder. I like the powder. I didn't like, you know, I would put that powder and we stir it up. And that chocolate milk would be wonderful. But if you let that chocolate milk sit too long, it would start to look white again. And at the bottom, you would start to see the chocolate at the bottom. You would have to go and stir it up because the flavor would have dropped all the way to the bottom. And that's what I'm reminded anytime I read this word. If you do not exercise and use your gifting, you are going to start to lose the flavor of it. And you will have to go back and stir that thing up. And he has to actually remind them, go back, stir up that gift so that it can be good and utilized. The issue is, though, in the process of stirring and utilizing the gifts of God, it can at times be intimidating. And it can be a little bit scary because it takes you a little bit outside of your comfort zone. Amen? But God is good. He is for you. I can tell you dropped my mic down. I must have been talking loud. So we want to focus on and understand, Ivy talked a little bit about our purpose. Our goal is for us to really not be ashamed of embracing the gifts of God. Okay? The gifts that God has for us, the spiritual gifts, they are real. They have a purpose. They need to be utilized. And so the word tells us that we can covet them earnestly. Pursue them with all you've got. You know, I'm going to share something that's nasty. It might be a little graphic, but this one guy, I think it was a James Bond movie or something like that I was watching. Anyway, he had to walk through this long desert. I think I'm quoting this correct, but whoever this character was had to walk through this desert and didn't have any water. The only bit of water that was left in his canteen was the woman had taken it just a little bit. She took it, put it in her mouth, squished it around, and put it back in there. And she was mad at him, and she gave it to him. That was the little bit of water that was going to be left. And it had all been through her mouth. That's nasty. But listen, he was going to be walking through a desert. You know that rascal took that water with him? Even though it had been... Now, what I'm trying to say is, that's some serious desire for moisture, for water, right? God wants us to be the same way, as if the gifts... He wants us to pursue them in such a level that it's as if it's our last drink. And without it, we die. Okay? So he does want us to desire them to such a level. The gifts of the Spirit are not for our own benefit, as you heard Ivy say here. Primarily, it's for the benefit of others. Right? So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. You got it? I'll read it. And so in verse 4, it says, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." And understand, that's not bad. Edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. Right? So he who prophesies will edify the church. Now, why is this important? God definitely wants us to be able to build ourselves up and to be prepared for all that we have to do. He cares about each individual, yourself included. But he has put us on this earth not to be a closed storehouse, but to be open so that we're useful for others. Okay? And that's what he's talking about here. It's good. Yeah, you can speak in an unknown tongue. That's helpful. That's great. It builds you up in your most holy faith like it talks about in Jude. But he says pursue or desire to prophesy, because that edifies others, right? It edifies the church. And so we have to really be mindful of that. To covet earnestly, this word here is zelu. Z-E-L-O-O. Is that on their paper? Okay, good. It means to have great desire, to be zealous. Basically, want it really bad. Want it really bad. And you who have children or have had children or have observed children, nieces, it doesn't matter if you have them or not. It's always amazing watching a child who wants something, but they have to be, that satisfaction has to be deferred. Because it's like you can see how mature or not mature they are, because it's like, I gotta have it now. When you really want something bad, you want to tear into it. You know, like right now I'm trying to lose weight. I'm trying to keep on the straight and narrow. But I can guarantee you this, if Miss Jane comes up here with some cherry pie, I know first off Miss Jane made it, and I might lose all my willpower because I just gotta have it. God wants us to be like that. Amen. So.
Well, I'm going to take an aside.
Okay, go ahead.
I think as we grow and as we mature, we learn how to temper our desires. And that's a good thing, you know, because we can't walk around greedy, greedy, greedy. My name is Jimmy all the time. We can't do that. But when it comes to the gifts of Holy Spirit, we are to be greedy. We should be constantly asking God, we should constantly be asking Holy Spirit, you know what? I'd like to do that. I think that would be fun. Let's talk about that. That's one of the things that I love, but it also drives me crazy about our daughter. She's tempered the whole, she doesn't throw a fit when she wants something like she did when she was little. But now what she does is she just talks about it incessantly, just all the time. Like Jaden, basically her holidays are January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, birthday. And then we should immediately speed to Christmas. So September birthday, then Christmas. That is the Jaden cycle. So she's tempered that, you know, greedy throw pitch a fit thing. But I can tell that her desires, when she really wants something, she just talks about it over and over and over again. And I think when it comes to the things of the Spirit, when it comes to the things of God, I think it's okay to talk about it with Him over and over again. I think God likes that.
Amen. Amen. I definitely. Now, I will tell you, speaking about that, though, what that reminds me of, and I think Jaden is good at, calling those things that be not as though they were. Daddy's going to get ice cream. Oh, ice cream is so good. Can't wait till we get ice cream later. She gets us to thinking, oh, did we promise her ice cream? Next thing. And I'm like, Jaden said we're going for ice cream, are we? okay. Anyway, so we clearly remember this. We just read several scriptures that reveals God's desire. It's His purpose that we will have these gifts. God doesn't give things unless He wants us to use them. Now, I'm sure we were going to name this, what was it? Not Santa's type of gift. I think I was going to say something like that was going to be a title. Yeah, not a present from Santa. And I play around with that just because, you know, having had Christmas and just opening gifts, it would be very odd if there was still a gift under the tree, fully wrapped, and no one's opening it. We would think, that's strange. Hey, whose gift is this? We're going to work to get it to them, aren't we? Okay. Well, when we decide as a church, we don't know. We no longer need the gifts of the Spirit. We're leaving gifts under a tree, so-called, saying, I don't need that. But God knows what you need. He didn't give you something by accident. It has a purpose. And so when we leave it still wrapped, not tore into, and not even being utilized, people suffer because they do not get all that God has for us. Amen? So, a study of the New Testament reveals that the only divine attribute that we, the church, can covet are the gifts of the Spirit. Okay? So, you know, it talks about not pursuing somebody else's wife, not wanting somebody else's stuff, But we are able to covet these things that we're about to talk about. So in 1 Corinthians, I know I've got a lot of scriptures here, but fortunately you have them written down there. 1 Corinthians 12:31, it says, but earnestly desire. Understand, this isn't that anybody who has a Bible that hasn't been white out or anything has this in there, okay? So this isn't our opinion. This isn't something that sounds good to us. So, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. So, also, I want to go over right away to 1 Corinthians 14:1, and it says, pursue love. We talked about this a little bit already. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Again, this is not our words. Desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. More and more this in this day and age, folks are trying to get you to go away from the things Scripture talks about and even to make you embarrassed. Your church is one of those that believes in prophecy? Oh, jeez, what's wrong with you guys? And they can actually put such a pressure on you that you as a church member or as a Christian, even more important than being a church member, being a Christian, you may shy away from those things and not even feel comfortable admitting, yeah, I do believe that way. But believe that way. Yeah. Your Bible has it.
That's right.
You've got the right one.
That's right.
And so you see it right here. We're going to look at it one more scripture here. In 1 Corinthians 14:39. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid, right? Do not keep someone from speaking with tongues. I remember I did go and visit a friend long time ago, good brother, and he asked me to come to his church and do some music, and I went to his church in Logan, and we were having a great time. And, you know, I always check to see what a church's protocols are, what they do, and I'm cool. If your church doesn't speak in tongues, hey, that's all right. Well, it doesn't cause me not to go there. I'm not going to say it's all right, but it won't cause me not to come through the door. All right, so I went and I sang music. I had a great time, went to his house later, was having dinner, and somehow we started talking about tongues, and he said, oh, shoot, anybody does that, that's the devil stuff. And I thought, oh, my goodness, all this time we've been hanging out and doing this music, and I didn't realize he thought that way. And I educated him on my position, and he said, oh, no. But how do you go through, read all these other pieces of the Bible, but miss this? Satan didn't write these words. This is out of the Bible you're walking around with. And so we just showed you three scriptures that talk about this. So it's clearly God's desire that you have all of these things and not just have them, that you pursue after them, right? Earnestly. You know, a lot of times when you're buying a home, you got to put down some earnest money, right? You got to put down something to say, I'm really committed to this. I'm not walking away from this.
Yeah.
It's the same type of situation here.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right. Amen. The next point we want to bring out is that desire is a scriptural key to receiving anything from God. You got to want it. So I'm going to turn to Mark chapter 11, verse 24. And I'm going to read this from the King James Version. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. So, you know, the best way for, I think, to explain this is that God is a respectful bridegroom. He's respectful. He wants his touch to be wanted. He wants the things that he has for us to be wanted, to be desired. If you take on the attitude of, I don't want that, I don't need that, you're missing out. He's a respectful bridegroom. Amen? But we have to remember he's our bridegroom. And so whatever he has is good for us. Okay? I think sometimes, especially for people that, for those of us that have been to like food buffets, you go through the buffet and you pick all the little things that you want. And it's beautiful to see it. Like I personally, I love buffets, although after COVID-19, I'm going to rethink that concept. But but I look at the spread and it's just like the bounty of it is beautiful. And so I go through that buffet and I pick and choose what I want to eat. Well, God's word is a buffet, but we shouldn't pick and choose. We should eat all of it.
That's right.
We should eat all of it. We should want to eat all of it because he is a faithful father. He gives us everything that we need. We should partake of what he has for us. So desire is a scriptural key to getting things or moving in things or progressing in God. Desire is a key.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, when you think about different characters throughout the word, you know, you can see God has always, people have gotten his attention by displaying their desire for what he has, whatever it is. Many times it was, you know, you think about blind Bartimaeus. Many times it was Jesus, his boy, saying, leave him alone. He's busy. Shut up. But Jesus hearing blind Bartimaeus, or the woman who just pressed through the crowd, having an issue of blood, and she pressed through. She had a desire to get there. And it wasn't even just that she pressed through. It's when she touched him, she had such a desire that something went out of him to heal her. And he knew it. You get God's attention when you desire the things that he desires. Ivy's telling me I need to move it. I think we got time. We're good? let's just remember, she did take an aside, right? Okay. So
30 all right. seconds.
30 all right, seconds. So there's four keys to manifesting from the spiritual gifts, or the spiritual to the natural is what I'm saying. And so this linkage here from spiritual to natural, okay? Clearly, we live in a natural world, but we're spiritual.
Yes.
We're new, right? And so in order to actually manifest these things, we got these four keys that must be observed. First, we already mentioned this, desire. You have got to desire it to the point of begging. Okay? Yeah, really bad. So I won't take too long on that, but I'm just thinking about my kids. There's some things I know they want, and if they really want it, I kind of put them off, and I watch to see how bad they want it. I won't bring it up again. I want them to want it, and I've told them since they were young, it's not always necessarily that you're wrong. I need to see that you're going to put the effort in to make a good argument that convinces me to give you what you're saying you need. Okay? Because it's more than me just giving them what they want. It's me seeing that they cared enough about it to invest in it. Invest their time in making a good argument or whatever it is. And that's what I think about when this here. If you don't even desire it, the things of God, if you have no desire of it, you will abuse it when it's given to you. I've known people over years. One individual, I remember the Social Security messed up, and maybe 5-6 years later, he realized they hadn't been paying him a certain amount, and they gave this young boy so much money. I mean, it was over $40,000 they gave that person, and he lost it within 6 months. Within 6 months, it was just gone. He didn't really have a desire for it. It was extra. It wasn't something he necessarily had to have. And so if we're going to manifest from the spiritual to the natural, you've got to have a desire for the things of God. And we've already talked about desire there, but I can't stress it enough. Ivy's telling me to move on. I could stay here another 10 minutes, but I'll move on. All right. Also, you must pray. You have got to pray, people. And listen, I know I'm talking to the choir. I know I'm not really talking to you. This is just so you can encourage your friends, right? Because we pray. But we got to talk with God. And, you know, prayer is more than just listening. You know, now these days you got the Bible where you can just hit play and it reads it to you. And you sit there and listen to it, and you might consider that being, oh, I prayed. No, that's not actually prayer. That's just listening to the Bible, which is important. And I will tell you, I have to tell myself this. You did not just spend time with God, Otis. You can't just listen to the Bible and think you can come, go on and move on with the rest of your day. I'm serious. I talk to myself this way. I say, no, silence yourself. Turn off everything and just talk to God. And God and I will just talk. I'll ask him some things. I will tell him, I want to know I'm on track. I want to know I'm doing the things you have for me to do. Please tell me. Tell me what your desire is for today. And I get quiet. And I have to make myself sit there and don't move just because he didn't speak to you in 5 minutes. God, tell me. And I'm serious. I have to do that. So I can't stress that enough. In order for these things to manifest, we're going to have to get tight with God and have a conversation where he can speak back to us and, you know, and allow him to tell us what does he want. Now, to the world right now, that sounds crazy, and they might be getting a straitjacket for me if they hear me saying this. But the truth of the matter is God speaks today. Amen. Also, we must believe. We must put our trust in God. So listen, when it said earlier, I talked about the scripture that talks about how we do not have he doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind, right? It is not easy to do what God has for you to do, but you have to believe who's got you. There's stuff that God will tell you to do, but if you trust him and say, God, I believe you. I know you got my good. You're looking out for me. And when you believe that, then you'll put your trust in him. And when he says go, you won't have to know, well, what am I going into? As long as you know God said it, okay, I'm going. I've seen people not commit suicide just because God said, Otis, don't go over there and eat lunch. Today, I want you to go over here. And I'm like, okay. I start walking. Now, I might ask him, why are we going over here, God? While I'm walking. But I'm already being obedient. I don't need to know what's over there. I want to know what's over there first before I go. No, because I believe in him. I trust him. And sure enough, he'll lead me to a place, and he's done this many times, led me to a place where someone was ready to take their lives. And I appeared right at the time, and they were blown away. And said, I just told God to give me a sign, and I can't believe you just came to the door. I said, well, I was going to lunch. And God told me I can't go to lunch with my boys. I'm here now. That's a true story. Happened over and over. So we got to believe. But also after that, understand we said desire it, pray. You have to believe, okay? And then you have to receive. When the spiritual happens, you've got to be ready to walk with it. Amen?
I'm taking an aside. And understand that it's actually happening. It's coming to pass. I think many times God is moving in our lives, but we don't realize, oh, that was for me. Yes, it's for you. Move in that thing. When he starts to move, grab hold of it. Jump on it. Do what he desires for you to do, because yes, it's for you.
Yeah, that reminds me of beautiful song. Just for me, just for me. Jesus came and did it just for me. Sometimes we don't even believe it. When he's doing it,
yeah,
it's like, that is for me. Yeah. He is that thing I prayed about. He's doing it.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
I asked him to give me a word. I asked him to give me visions. I asked him to give me dreams. And I saw it.
Yes, yes, yes.
We get so shocked when God moves. Mm-hmm. But we
Thank
have
you,
to receive it.
Thank you, Lord God.
And so receiving it isn't just actually getting it. You got to hold on to it. Mm-hmm. Now, that sounds easy, but right now, opposition comes because of the revelation. When you get a word from God, or you get some understanding from God, or you get some level of revelation from God, the enemy comes to take it. So it's just not solely receive it, it's hold it. Amen? Don't forfeit it.
Amen.
Okay.
So stirring up is based upon the individual's will, not God's will. God's will has already been established in his word. We already know that he sent the gifts to us through Holy Spirit to profit everyone. We already know that. But stirring up is about us stirring ourselves up. Okay? A lot of times, there are people that move in the gifts of the Spirit, and they wait to feel something from Holy Spirit, and then they go. No. Stir it up. Start saying, God, use me. God, use me. God, what do you want me to think about that? What do you want me to do in this situation? How do you want me to pray? That's stirring up your gift. That is our job. That is our personal responsibility. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, it says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through laying on of my hands. So it is our responsibility to stir up our gifting. When Otis and I, we've told Pastor Rob often, you know, if you want us to prophesy, God, Pastor Rob, you just tell us. And what Otis and I will immediately start doing is we'll just start praying in the Holy Ghost. It's not that we feel a prophetic word or we heard the word and then we start talking. Sometimes we don't get that luxury. Pastor will just say, Ivy, give a word. And then I'll just start to pray in the Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit will start to speak. And then I will talk. I will say what he wants me to say. So, and going back to what Otis said about receiving, understand that when you have to stand and deliver, that's a phrase Otis and I use a lot. When you have to stand and deliver, or you're in a situation where you're dealing with someone who's grieving and who has questions, if you don't know what to say in that moment, just say, let me just pray with you. You are standing in that situation and you have delivered. You have done what God has told you to do. Don't feel like you're going to freeze. You don't have to surrender to that. You don't have to accept that. You stand and you wait for Holy Spirit to speak to you and then you go. Amen. So we don't have to freeze. We don't have to be nervous. We don't have to be stuck in one spot. God, because we are stirring up our gifting and allowing ourselves to be used by him, we can stand and deliver. It is our personal responsibility. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let's go back there. Oh, thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification for itself. And so this scripture is speaking specifically about, you know, what to do in a church setting or something like that. And you're praying in tongues. You, like, if you came up to the microphone and you started praying in tongues, well, that's great, but you understand that an interpretation needs to come forth from that. And if you begin to hear something, if you hear that God is saying something to you, when that comes forth, come on up. Come to the pastor or me or Otis and say, I think I hear this. And that's great. Like Tony did this morning. You know, we were about to move on in worship. But Tony said, I think I have something. And I listened to it and I'm like, yeah, girl, that's good. And wasn't it good? Wasn't it good? She could have stayed back there on her keyboard and kept playing and worshiping God, but she stepped into a different place because, you know, Tony delivers a word, but it's not very often. And I have to say, it's hard to prophesy and play the piano at the same time. It ain't easy. So congratulations, Tony. Good on you, girl. So she was hearing and she delivered that word, and we are all blessed because of it.
That's right.
So, I think also this particular, this notion of understanding that we must stir up ourselves, there are times where we have to encourage ourselves.
I think a lot of times we are looking for outside things to bring us closer to God. Like, I've got to play that song. That song always makes me feel good. Or, oh, I hope Pastor Otis plays that song today because that's going to get me to worship. Well, you know, there are times where that's just not going to happen. You going on YouTube and listening to that song that always gets your motor going, it may not get your motor going that day. And then what are you going to do? Are you going to sit and be sullen and be sunk? Or are you going to do something to keep yourself stirred up? What I do is I encourage myself. I encourage myself in the Lord. There are times where I will literally just lay hands on myself. I don't feel that great today. I need you to touch me. And I'll lay hands on myself. And it works. Because he's good. His promises to us are yes and amen. He said, if I stir myself up, if I rekindle that thing, I'm going to feel that Holy Ghost fire. We can do that. Lay hands on yourself. Encourage yourself in the word. Encourage yourself in the Lord. A lot of times, especially if I am dealing with a situation that feels insurmountable, I just start talking about God and who he is, and I just start bragging on him. I go all the way back to the Red Sea. I'm just silly like that. I do. I go all the way back to the Red Sea and wind it up to where I am at that point. And you know what? I feel really good after. I feel great. I feel great. So there are times that we have to encourage ourselves. We have to build ourselves up because outside influences don't work all the time. Also, we have to understand that stirring up the gift is based on seven factors. And we're going to go through these quick. Right, Otis?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, we are. So we have to be convinced of his will. We've already read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, that the gifts of the Spirit are to profit everyone. If that ain't enough scripture for you, here's some more. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. Proverbs 16, verse 3, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And we know what that verse is. I know the plans that I have for you. They are for your good. I don't know, but that does something for me.
Yes, sir.
I feel electric when I hear that he has plans for me and that his plans for me are for my good. Mm-hmm. That does something to me. It should do something to you too.
That's right.
It should cause you to lift your hand, get a smile on your face, and understand that his promises for you are yes and amen. And so, of course, his presents are for you. Amen. Glory to God. Philippians 4:9. Philippians 4:19. His riches and glory are for us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, oh, another one, Exodus 23, verse 25. He blesses our food and our water, especially right now. You know, it's like, oh, my gosh, yeah, I'm going to Kroger and I'm buying my food. But, Lord, some of the COVID is going through meat plants, Lord God. But God, his word tells me in Exodus 23, verse 25, he blesses my food and my water because I worship him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I worship him. He blesses my food and my water. Look, you know what? His voice to us is granular. He gets down to the nitty gritty with stuff.
That's right.
If we search it out, if we look for it, he gets down to the nitty gritty with that stuff. And it's good. We have to get into the word and encourage ourselves and be convinced of his will. We must know that his will is that his gifts are manifested for us.
Amen. Amen. You go, girl. That was great. All right. So as she told you, we're dealing with, the issues, factors involved in stirring up the gifts. And so I'm going to touch on another one here, which is that we must realize that we, or it says you, but we are imperfect. You know, and so why is this important? One, it helps us to have a healthy fear when we're doing what God has for us to do. Now, I'm going to say this. Some people, because they call themselves perfectionists, a perfectionist who is balanced is able to be highly productive. A perfectionist who is not won't get nothing done. Amen. So the reason I'm saying that is because sometimes Because we won't move until it's absolutely perfect, and it's almost impossible to reach perfection, you will never put anything out. You won't step out. You won't say what God tells you to say because you're fearful that it's not going to be right. And not only that, you judge the activity and say, the activity might not be perfect, but not only that, God's trying to bring a word through an imperfect vessel. And sometimes it's like, well, wait a minute, I'm not set up for this. No, it's okay. You are imperfect. I am imperfect. I'm going to mess it up. But what that causes me to do is rely on God to say, God, not my word. I want them to hear your word. Not my will. I want them to hear your will. And when I do that, I'm telling you, if I was to go through my victory list, woo, I could just start shouting as Ivy was just talking about God looking out for you. Because I've got a victory list of the things God has done. And when I felt at my lowest, but I was obedient, just the fact that I was obedient, I didn't think I could pull it off myself. And that's good because I couldn't pull it off myself. He did it. And so that's why it's very important for us to realize that we are not perfect. We are imperfect, okay? When you do that, you will move out and you will trust God. Also, a couple other ones here that we'll highlight. You see other ones on this page, but I'm going to skip down to a couple other ones here. If you have this, they have all this written out, right? F, it says activate, okay, by faith. And so, again, we're stirring up the gift as we talked about it. It's our responsibility to stir up the gift. And so when you think about activating something by your faith, God, he cares so much about our faith being present because that is what, how will I say it? Yes, that will impregnate the situation. God's faith, you having faith in God, is the seed that will cause things to give birth. Okay? You guys understand what I mean by that? Okay. So, it will be there. God will, let's put it this way. God stands up for those who will move. If you're not going to move, if you're not going to say yes and get mobile when he tells you to go do something, he doesn't need to send power to you. He doesn't need to back you up there because you're not going. God does not waste resources, right? We got that? Okay. So it's important that we activate our faith. And how do we do that? Exactly by doing what God says do. When you start moving, he starts providing. If you're going to stay home or whatever he's told you to do, if you're not going to do it, there's no reason for him to supply power for it to come about.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Amen?
Yes, thank you, Lord.
This last one is very important, though. G on here. We must also understand that gifts are given, but fruit is grown and developed. So what this is dealing with, are you going to that scripture then? Okay. What this is dealing with is we know, and notice we haven't focused on each of the gifts. We haven't numbered them. We haven't labeled them. We haven't talked about what they are specifically because what we're talking about hits all of the gifts. Okay. But if you were to go and read and look at see what all the nine gifts are, it's important to know that those gifts are given to us by God, and it's through the Holy Spirit. They're given to you. They have nothing to do with your level of character and your level of fruit or your development, okay? So what we need to keep in mind here and why we bring this up even is the fact to say that you can have someone who has a spiritual gifting who can sit there and they might be able to lay hands on the sick and you see them recover, they might have such a huge gift of faith to move things. But don't automatically align them with being who they're supposed to be as far as their character and their spiritual maturity in God just because you see a gift working powerfully. Because it's the fruit that has to be matured that causes someone's character to be strong. Marianne Brown used to say this. She used to say that your talents or your giftings can get you through the door. Now, if you don't know who Marianne Brown, she was a prophetess from Texas. We used to listen to her all the time and do some worship with her. But she would say that your giftings can get you through the door, but your character will keep you there. And that is so true. So we have to develop the fruit, and we got to also learn how to use the spiritual giftings. But the two must work together, okay? It's very important that we do that. Now, we talked about these things, We talked about these things. We could have talked about other things, and we could have shared this at another time, but we thought this was relevant because we're going into 2021. In 2021, the church, to be as successful as it needs to be, we got all kinds of scandals happening even within the church. We got all kinds of attacks happening from without the church. But God still made us a strong body. And for us to accomplish the things that God has for us to do, we are no longer going to be able to be spectators and say, that's not an area I feel comfortable operating in. We can no longer leave the giftings under the tree still wrapped. It is our job to each individual in this place, if you're hearing my voice, you have some spiritual gifts that you have to really pursue, earnestly covet, and try to develop in order for us to be who we need to be going forward. It's just mandate. It's a mandate from God. Amen. So I hope you hear that. Many of you are doing it. All of us have to bring up our game because the devil is trying to rage on. He's trying to do his thing, and we are still victorious. We're going to be victorious regardless of what it looks like. We win. Amen. Amen. All right, go
ahead. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to close our internet service. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you for everyone that has just joined us this morning. Dear sister, Holy Spirit hears you. He hears you, and he's answering that prayer. You're concerned about your children. You're concerned about your finances. And he says he hears you, and I am Elohim, and I have everything under control. Rest your mind, rest your heart. Rest your mind, rest your heart. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for meeting us right where we are. We thank you that your voice, we thank you that your power is not confined to these four walls. We thank you that you are meeting every need in the homes of our family outside of this place this morning. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.